the 2019 NECUSO Network Conference in sunny San Diego, California. Look who's in the studio lounge, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Rojan Nair from Celero. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been almost 365 days.
That's right.
Since AXFI last year. Correct. Where you had, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this guy had the top-rated video for, gosh, almost 2 months after the AXFI when we were talking about AI, robotics.
That's true.
And there was another one that was really fascinating. There were three things that we talked about that were super fascinating.
And here's the thing, Mike. What we chatted about a year back is probably not relevant now, right?
No, everything's changed. Everything's different. So that's the beauty of this industry, though. That's what keeps us on our toes. So speaking of keeping us on our toes, you presented yesterday as well. Did you present today as well?
No, it was just yesterday.
And I think the topic was financial services, digital marketplace, future business model, and a whole myriad of other things.
Stuff, yep.
So what is happening today in fintech that you can get us caught up on since we last spoke 365 days ago?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously everybody know that in the last 5 years or so, it's around $350 billion invested into this space. Last time I checked, there's 6,500 plus fintech startups globally.
Wow.
And it's very interesting that 5 years ago when they started, most of them were in a niche space like lending or payment.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happening now is these guys are growing so big that last month we had the first fintech acquisition of a bank. So you can imagine how a fintech player is now going back and acquiring bank, a billion-dollar bank in Germany. So that's a big trend that's happening. And also, they're all going now, they started at a corner of a value chain, but now they're expanding horizontally. So fintechs that started in payment is moving into lending and vice versa.
Mm-hmm,
but the other big trend that's happening, Mike, is they're all going after the deposit world. They're going after the payroll. They're going to the first point of a financial transaction.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really sort of getting in front of the consumers and creating a bit of panic for the incumbent businesses.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about payroll, because that really interests me. Because years ago, I heard about a restaurant that would pay their employees with debit cards.
Mm-hmm.
And they would load whatever they made that week or those 2 weeks onto the card,
right.
And there's your and go out and spend it. Or
it's a very interesting space. Yeah, you're right, absolutely.
So it just cut the whole financial institution out of the picture.
Cut the financial institution out of the picture, because the stats was in 2017, in US alone, $34 billion was paid in overdraft. And a lot of that overdraft fee people paid because they're on a week-to-week paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 weeks is too big for them, right? If you're on an hourly pay cycle.
Right.
So the question is, why do I have to wait for 2 weeks to get payment?
Mm-hmm.
So there are companies like Earnin, companies like Dave and Even, who stepped in and said, I'll advance that cash to you 2 weeks early for earning in an example, just ask for a tip. They don't even have a service fee.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave charges $1 a month for 2 weeks advancement. And last I heard, is collaborating with Walmart. So Walmart wants their employees paid through this, right? And if you look at the fundamental reason why this is going to become very dominant in the industry is because you look at Uber, right? Uber has to pay their drivers at the end of the right.
Mm-hmm.
They can't pay the driver 2 weeks later.
Right.
So Uber is partnering with GoBank to get a end of shift, end of every ride payment.
Well, real-time
payment.
Super real-time.
So that's quite different than what the payroll system is today with the automatic clearing houses, the ACHs of the world. So I can really see that payment space slipping away from the traditional institutions to this middleman.
Why couldn't I get paid every day?
Exactly.
If I put my 8 hours in at the office, why can't at the end of the day, there's my money in my account, or
because
wherever.
If the irony is, if you look at it, a lot of us are in our contracts have somewhere this hourly payment thing,
mm-hmm.
but you never get paid on an hourly basis.
Right.
So that's what these fintechs are really going after.
Yeah,
I think so. That's a big shift.
Okay, very cool. Next thing I want to talk about was AI and cognitive technologies out there, particularly voice, because that's really catching on, obviously, with Alexa and Google Home and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have gone even a further step ahead from Alexa and Siri and all of those, because those technologies, you have to pre-wire them to answer a certain set of questions,
mm-hmm,
so the questions and the answers need to be known. But what's happening out there with a lot of deep learning voice-based technologies is the fact that they can detect the intent of your question. So if you call them and say, hey, please put a hold on my credit card,
right,
it will say that, oh yeah, I'll put a hold on your credit card. By the way, I see that you're traveling to Europe a lot, so why don't I offer you this other card? So it can cross-sell and upsell, even though your question was, can you put a hold on the card?
Mm-hmm.
So we, in fact, is partnering with a company called Interface.ai. They used to be called Pageo. And we are bringing that system into the Canadian Credit Union, and we are seeing the first application of that in the call center. So we can actually probably answer 20 to 30% of those traditional call centers using this technology.
Wow. Right? So is the writing on the wall, though, with call centers now, with that type of technology?
I think to a certain extent, the way I see it is, it's not about job loss. It's about probably you can reposition those resources to something that's going to provide
sure.
better experience
sure.
for the members,
mm-hmm.
right? Because all of us have this complaint at the end of the day, we don't have time.
Right.
So I think this
now
is...
Now you're going to have time.
You're going to have time. So that's really the catch here.
Okay. Okay. This last one that you just introduced me to, called digital twinning.
Yeah.
Enlighten me, Roshan. What's going on? What is this all about?
it's a bit creepy. It's probably a few years away here in North America.
Okay.
It's quite sort of getting popularized in Asia and Europe and that belt. And it's very simple, you know, like as just like how you have all these cameras here,
mm-hmm.
Mike. You could put four or five cameras and create a digital clone of me. So you put those cameras in my work environment and you record and see how I react to different scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have a digital clone of me, but it can only sort of look at my facial expression, how do I react to a particular question, and then the previous question we discussed, cognitive banking,
yeah.
those solutions can now provide the voice to this digital twin.
Oh
so
gosh.
If you look at ANC Bank, just for the sake of it, if you go
yeah.
to ANC Bank's
yeah.
website and look at how their bot interact, it's actually one of their staff cloned into a bot. So this is quite a bit of interesting phenomenon that's happening out
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
But it boils down to, you know, the traditional bot has been a little icon somewhere in
yeah.
your screen,
yeah.
but now it's going to a personal experience. So, you know, a mic bot,
mm-hmm.
which is really you.
They're really scary too.
It's really you out there. And the company that's providing this is Soul Machines, S-O-U-L, machines.
Okay, soul
maybe
machines,
yeah, you can put that on your screen.
Sure.
So they're quite popularizing this, and it's evident that it's going to come to our industry quite soon.
Oh my gosh, you're right. It is kind of creepy.
It is creepy.
A little bit. Okay, so where are we heading now? We talked about soul machines. We talked about voice and payroll. Where is all going? So where are we heading now?
Yeah, it's a very interesting topic that I talked us today. I mean, everybody knows about the platform play, but really, if you go back in history, you know, the previous generation, right? I mean, probably some of us and our forefathers, banking was really a macro service. So when I say macro service, there's one place to go to, and they provide all the service
mm-hmm.
for you. So that's all you were looking for and happy with. But this generation right now, with all the fintechs, the challenger banks, the neo banks, there's a lot of choices.
Mm-hmm.
So you have microservices.
Yeah.
Services, right? So you can get payroll from one provider, like remittance from a provider.
Mm-hmm.
So you have lots of choices. So it's very distributed.
Yeah.
Well, what we're heading to is back to that macro world. So you're going to have all these microservices now integrated at a platform level. So you know, a marketplace is going to evolve. So, you know, a simple question like about marketplace a lot of people have is, what is it? I mean, who's going to do it? So there are two possibilities in the marketplace. One is the Uber and Airbnb possibility. So imagine Uber or Airbnb for credit unions or financial services.
Yeah.
So there will be a screen where Mike will go or I will go and say, hey, I want to buy a home.
Mm-hmm.
And you really don't care, you know, which real estate agent, you know, is providing that service.
Exactly.
Who's giving me the loan? Who's fulfilling it? Which is the legal firm involved?
Mm-hmm.
So this platform will actually integrate all those APIs and provide me
mm-hmm.
with one experience that I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I want to buy a home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very similar what Uber does, right? You want to go from A to B.
Right, and it's going to find you the best package
it
available
is going to buy the,
for you.
Right. Based on your profile.
Right.
So that's where AI and all those things would come underneath it to find out who is Mike, what's your profile, what's your ability to have another loan, and it'll redirect that traffic to a very frictionless environment underneath it. So that's where it's heading. So that's the sort of the startup companies potentially coming up with a marketplace like that. But yesterday I got a lot of questions from credit unions. How about a credit union or a financial institution becoming a marketplace? So, there's a company in Germany called Fidor. They came up with a banking as a platform concept. Yeah. And you can buy that platform. It's like Lego, right? So the first piece of the Lego will be a big sort of a base platform.
Right, right.
And that'll be your credit union's front end. And then you attach mortgage, you attach lending onto it and grow your business as you need to.
Very nice.
So definitely there's this marketplace within the financial services institutions as a possibility. And then you have the possibility with any of this fintechs one of these days coming up with the marketplace.
What does that model mean to core processors? Does it really transform that whole business model, or do they have anything to worry about? I mean,
it's interesting. You
not
know,
that I'm too be, concerned about no, cores, but I'm just kind of interested to see where that's headed.
It will be interesting because for two reasons. Really in Canada now we're seeing some of the credit unions actually creating their own challenger banks on the side. So there is only so much an traditional legacy institution can change digitally.
Right.
You have sort of a maximum limitation there. But if you really have an ambition to become a digital first institution, you can always create a brand on the side and provide the service.
Gotcha.
So now you have two brands, and you have, from when it comes to technology, you're always kind of having this trouble of how many cores do I use? So do I federate this core? So we are seeing a trend of core, the large core providers catering for that market, two different brands. But in the marketplace, the way I see it is probably the traditional core vendors might struggle unless they have a very robust API.
Yeah.
But the new core providers who are coming up, like the Fidors of the world or other players who are cloud only, might have a little bit of edge when it comes to the marketplace play.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
All right, last question for you. What's it, and you kind of alluded to it in your previous response, but what does this mean for credit unions now? A lot of them are already on their digital transformation journeys, and it sounds like this has taken that journey to a whole nother level.
Different.
So what does it mean for them, since they're probably going, oh my gosh, I just went through this whole transformation.
Yeah,
now look what I got to do.
I think it is very, true that everybody's worried about this, right? I mean, but if you look at it, financial institutions traditionally were in that B2C model, right? Like you're a business, you have consumers. And we all know that the fintechs and the challenger banks are coming and disrupted that. So they are more doing that B2C because they're very good in that experience and relationship, and they kind of have built the trust now with the consumers. What I think would happen is, if you look at this marketplace I was explaining, it's going to have three layers. The experience layer on the top, which is for the consumer, and then you have the middle layer, which is going to be that provider, and that's going to be the fintechs of the world. And then the financial institutions might go to the third layer, which is a supplier. So you would probably end up more in the B2B space to fulfill a loan, right? Because the fintechs, a lot of them don't have a fulfillment or a disbursement.
Right.
They don't have the cash to bankroll this.
Right.
So maybe some part of your business will go down in the chain, in the value chain, to a B2B model, and that doesn't mean that you won't have the B2C.
Sure.
So that's how I see in future the traditional banks and the credit unions and the FIs playing a role in a different level. But the trick with the transformation is, even though we joked at the beginning, it's going to evolve. It's going to never end.
Yeah.
Next time when we meet here, it'll be a different topic.
Completely different.
Indeed.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Rojan, this is always an adventure. This is, it's exciting and scary at the same time.
It is.
But this is our world. This is our new normal. So
exactly.
Good stuff. Rojan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate the time as always. Rojan Nair, Solero. Go check them out.
Thank you very much.
Sir.